So for those just kind of maybe who don't know who we are, my name's James Whitelock and I'm the Managing Director at Thinking Circles. I'm also a podcaster and I'm joined by...
I'm Chris Murdoch. So yeah, I'm the host of the Employer Bland podcast and also one of the co-founders of a talent attraction SaaS business called Voice.
And we've been trying to work on a joint podcast thing for a while.
For ages.
Yeah, for ages. but time and resources and
life
and all that kind of stuff gets in the way. But here we are, right? We've got a great kind of studio that we're out of today. And a little bit different to our kind of normal podcast, right? We've got kind of a bit more of an agenda that we want to kind of discuss today. So why don't you kind of set the scene for us, Chris?
Yeah, so I think, you know, and you and I have spoken about this topic in many different guises for a long time, I think.
Mm.
And I think it kind of goes back to, so you know, the overarching kind of point, I think, or topic we wanted to cover was, you know, we're both acutely aware there are tons of companies out there actively recruiting, but so many of those companies go past a certain kind of threshold in time.
Mm.
Let's call it, you know, typically it's that 30, 45 day period. It's probably like selling a house in many ways.
Yeah.
It's like that 30, 45 day period. Things aren't going in the direction you want them to go in. There's talent coming through the pipeline. Mm-hmm. Interviews are taking place. For whatever reason, this job is still unfilled. And I think there becomes a point, you know, 30, 45 days plus, where I think so many companies tend to just think, well, let's just see how this goes. Let's see how it rides out. Hopefully our luck will change.
Yep.
The tides will turn.
Yep.
Not much tends to change. And I think, you know, so many conversations you and I have had, James, are that there are so many things that you could be considering. There are so many things you could be doing to kind of just analyze, look, where are we right now? How could we be doing things differently to completely kind of mix up this attraction campaign?
Yeah, I mean, there's really no reason that a job should sit unfilled for that amount of time. Right, not in this day and age. There's the talent's out there, so, and it's just kind of either doing the bit up front to bring the talent in. So what can you change about what you're doing? You know, you're projecting to the outside world. There could be a problem with the whole kind of the process of applying for those for that type of job.
Yeah.
It could be job specs and things like that. So there's a point in the middle where you're kind of look, where you've got the people there, but actually that process isn't working. And then there's also the bit maybe towards the kind of end with regards to kind of how the application is processed and et cetera, et cetera. So it would be good if we can maybe take a hypothetical situation where we've got a big brand, they've got a job that's been unfilled, they know they need to fill it, it's really important to it's mission critical to a certain extent. What can they do, right? Where can we go from that point onwards? So if we break it down into those three sections, let's take the kind of projecting it to the outside world.
Yeah.
Right? Let's look at that. Where could they start to try and drive the right kind of talent and the right kind of engagement for that role?
Yeah, well, I think first things first, you know, continuing with the same approach is fine. You know, you don't necessarily need to rip up the rule book and think, right, okay, we need to do something completely differently. The thing I love about talent attraction and job advertising is that it's really fun to split test this stuff. Carry on running what you're doing. Because look, you never know, you know, the gem that you're looking for could absolutely still fall into that funnel.
Yeah.
And there isn't a huge amount of value in burning that down. Yeah. Like, let's just carry on with that. But I think tactically, think about how you can do things completely differently and set up some new funnels.
Yeah.
To do things differently. So I think, you know, something that I'm pretty big on, and I think lots of people listening probably already do the same thing, but if you don't, it might help. But really starting to drill into the candidate persona of, you know, who do we really want, you know, to be dropping into this funnel? Yep. And what does that general persona look like? What are their attributes? What kinds of things are they interested in? Where do they consume content? What types of content are they interested in? And all the other things that are going to help you start to get into the psyche and the mindset of the person that's likely to to be accepting this role at some point.
Yeah.
And I think what that does, certainly in my experience, just helps you start solidifying all these other ideas. Because once you start thinking, oh, right, okay, so the person probably roughly is, you know, looks a bit like this and likes things like this and they're into things like that and they, you know, whatever else, I think the creative ideas can then really start flowing. And those creative ideas typically become more personalized.
Yeah.
Because you think, well, if we are going to start creating some video content or we're going to, you know, try and get some, you know, testimonial references from people doing the job currently, you know, you're going to start kind of aligning it to the persona. And that's a great starting point for me because whatever you want to do in these new funnels and how you do things differently, channeling into that persona, I think, is just a really good anchoring point.
I agree. It's one of those things that you just kind of, like you said, there's nothing wrong with doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results, you know what I mean, that hold out. And, you know, looking at these different buckets where you can kind of look for different people and different talent, right? You know, we're not going to really dive too much into things like kind of skills-based hiring, but, you know, maybe there's a reason why it's not getting much attraction, you know, that these people are so hard to find that they're probably quite happy in the job that they're in. So maybe there is, you know, adjunct to that. There is other skills and other things, and maybe you're being a bit too regimented. And that then can reflect on where you're actually advertising and putting your job online. So you may be completely wedded to using a specific job board or specifically putting it up onto LinkedIn, et cetera, et cetera. But you might well then want to look, right, where are the other places we could just be, you know, spreading the net a little bit wider? You know, the example I always use with businesses is that if it's a technical role or it's an engineer or a software engineer or that kind of role, there are all other kind of networks which probably aren't LinkedIn where you might be able to find these kind of people. The likes of Discord, Reddit, Twitch are all kind of like untapped resources. Now, that's quite specific for those kind of role, but there'll probably be other places where you can probably get in. And then it's like you mentioned, there is a way that you then want to try and engage on these other places, whether that is video, whether that's a way more kind of less kind of salesy approach, whether it's testimonials, whether it's kind of content that is more employer brand focused to draw kind of people in to the brand initially and then into kind of what roles are available. I think all those kinds of things. And, you know, for big brands, you know, this is probably fine. But even for smaller brands, they would be thinking around, well, it could be quite costly. Actually, none of this really costs much at all.
No, it's more ideation, isn't it?
It is,
It's more having the time to sit down, you know, have a little bit of downtime and get creative and get some juices flowing. But I agree completely with you, James. And I think the critical point to all of this, if you do want to explore a new channel, something that's slightly different, it's about starting to get a bit brave and think, how can we start to do things differently to make sure we can cut through the noise? I think cutting, you know, a bit cliche, but cutting through the noise, standing out from the crowd, for me, you know, bravery is just intertwined with those things. And start to think really differently. You know, try and do things like they haven't been done before.
What's a good example of that? What might be kind of one of those things that people could kind of, you know, push the boundaries on?
So I think if you want to be really brave with a talent attraction campaign, you know, and you've done the persona stuff, so you've got a really good kind of, you know, insight to, you know, the types of people that you think you want to be consuming this type of content. I think it's about, you know, starting to create content.
Yep.
I think content needs to be at the forefront of this type of stuff. So you've got a text job ad. We've already said, you know, that that's not working for you brilliantly. You know, we're currently a month and a half, 2 months into a process. We're getting the same types of people drop into that funnel. We need to engage a new audience and we need to galvanize them. We need to pique their interest. I'd start with content.
Yeah.
And with content, you know, it's a multitude of things. You know, it's not just video. You know, video's an easy one to talk about because, you know, we're all familiar with it and we all consume it on a daily basis. So getting some video content, if you can. Now, you don't need to be in a studio like this. You know, you could be sitting with the hiring manager. It could be over a Zoom video call.
And are you thinking kind of video content that's specific to that role, specific to that department, that's more employer brand focused? You know, are we, I mean, how deep are you trying, are you kind of thinking?
Yeah, so if I could only pick one type of video for a particular job role that I was trying to fill, I would go straight to somebody doing that job currently. Yeah. Okay. Ideally, you know, 2, 3, 4 different types of people from a spectrum of kind of backgrounds if they were, you know, keen to help with the type of campaign. But I'd go to someone that's doing that role currently and have some engaging conversations with them.
Yeah.
They can either, you know, help you with the content themselves. You could do a co-creation thing. And this becomes, you know, asking someone in a one-time basis, you know, it can become quite difficult and there's a little bit of administrative and logistics stuff that needs to be done. Still very, very easy. And if you go and ask the question, these people are out there, they're willing to help. But I think this is all about advocacy and allyship. And it's about, you know, this role being unfilled for 30, 45 days, that's going to happen time and time again.
Yeah.
And, you know, go in, build relationships with these people in the business, because over time, when you need to call upon them, like this, you know, time you want to call upon them now, they will be willing to help you.
Yeah.
Not everyone, but there'll be a cohort that's absolutely willing to help. But have conversations with them, you know, get content from them, whether it's referral content, and you can use that referral content in images with maybe their face, with a testimonial that's over the top. It could be a short soundbite snippet, which isn't just about the job role, but it might be that they're a mega Oasis fan and they go to every Oasis gig, or them personally. You know, we always think about the job and it needs to be super job specific. The people looking to work in your company also want to understand if I want to work with that person. So get job content. That's obvious. You know, it's like we're looking for an XYZ engineer that's got ABC skills, but try and get some personality coming through as well. Because when we're talking about cutting through the noise and we're talking about standing out from the crowd, doing things differently, being brave, you know, try and get some personal stories from these people. You know, what's their background? Where do they come from? Where do they grow up? So many other things.
Yeah, I love that. I that comes close to almost like kind of team branding or department branding, right? Where you're kind of like, which is like an offshoot of employer branding, where you are the candidate or the job seeker is being introduced to where they're going to work.
Yeah.
Right. It's not just this big faceless company.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of businesses, you know, they don't necessarily want to work for the likes of these big brands, the Googles, the Metas, the Oracle, blah, blah, blah. But actually, on a day-to-day basis, you probably have very little to do with that as a brand. What you do is you're working with this team.
Yeah.
This is the person who's going to be your boss. These are the people you're going to be working with. So having a bit more of insight into that, right, seeing that, I think that's a great idea. And that ties into your kind of more kind of personalization of this employer branding kind of space. And getting that stuff out there along with the job ad itself, obviously, that is the stuff I think that's going to draw people in, and also draw the right people in, because they're going to see the kind of culture. You know, today we're filming this near Silverstone.
Yeah.
Silverstone Park, full of advanced engineering businesses, a lot of them working in motorsport. But they sometimes have a problem with this kind of thing exactly, right? Finding the right kind of talent.
Yeah.
Because there's an authenticity piece that goes along with this. Where, you know, working over there, some of those businesses, you're working weekends, you're working long hours and things like that. And if you can subtly kind of get that stuff into this content that you're talking about, which is kind of quite brutally honest and brutally authentic, which a lot of brands don't necessarily want to do. But what you're actually doing is you're allowing the right people to self-select.
Absolutely.
Right? And what, you know, if it's just a job spec, there's nothing I can select on, right?
Yeah.
If it's kind of an understanding of like, this is the team you're working with, you know, but actually, you know what, I'm filming this at 7 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon or Thursday evening, because we've got a piece that's got to get to F1 team by the weekend. It's cool, but also you get the idea, right? So I always think that kind of stuff, where it's kind of that brutal honesty, which a lot of businesses just don't want to go near.
Yeah.
But this is this bravery piece, I think, that you were kind of talking around. It's like, just mix things up. And you can, like you said, you can just A/B test this stuff quite easily, right?
Exactly.
You've got your job ad sitting out there. Stick with the job boards you're using already to post it. Stick with LinkedIn. But actually, on the other side, do this. See what you get back from it.
Totally. You know, I couldn't agree more. And I think in that same vein, James, you know, being able to get this really kind of authentic storytelling coming through, which isn't just about the ABC skills that you require. It's about the people and their experiences and, you know, flexibility, or maybe lack of flexibility, because that's fine as well. Yep. It's like, you know, just tell the people yep. what it's about. But I think also kind of myth busting and demystifying, you know, things. So, you know, there's various, you know, there's one that I'm working, you know, one company that I'm working with currently. They work in asset management,
yep.
global asset manager. And then look, to a lot of people, to a lot of people in the outside world, particularly early careers, but even, you know, even beyond into experienced hires, people would look at that organization in a big kind of, you know, the business district in London mm-hmm. and just think, they look great, but maybe a bit scary. Like, I don't know if, you know, if that culture is the right culture for me. Yep. I don't know if I'd fit in and da, da, da. But again, humanizing the brand and yep. demystifying and, you know, myth busting, you know, yep. getting someone in front of, you know, whether it's video or however you want to capture this content, but, you know, someone that is a normal human, you know, probably dressed like this mm-hmm. in a finance house saying, look, it's a really cool place to work. Like, I don't come from a finance background, mm-hmm. you know, and da 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 da. And talking about all this stuff where these people checking out this content in your job description or however you've managed to advertise the role in this newly found kind of evolution, they're viewing this stuff thinking, actually, that's really different to that PDF job yep. spec that I yep. read. Like, that, this seems like a totally different role.
Yeah.
And this actually seems like one that, whether they want to apply or not, again, the aim of the game isn't to get everybody applying, is it?
No.
But it's the people that we think, you know, it's the people that you want to drop into that funnel. They could be dropping into the funnel once they've actually started to view what it's like behind the curtain. And I think that's another angle that we need to consider.
Yeah, I think it's, there is a bigger kind of employer branding piece, and we're not here to extol the virtues of employer branding, because most businesses don't necessarily have the budgets or resources and maybe not have the understanding on how to do that kind of stuff. But everything we're suggesting is dipping your toe into that space, right? Yeah. You don't have to go with a full EVP. You don't have to go with a full employer branding kind of agency. But what you're doing is you're just fleshing out, right, what's going to give you a better chance to get the best talent, right? And it doesn't take a huge amount. As I said, it could just be some quite short 5-minute video content, yeah. right, that's out on a few different places. That's the kind of stuff from the outside looking in, right? What about once you've got someone a bit further down the funnel and they have got to the job spec, right? They're looking at the job. What's the stuff we can kind of do there to make that just that bit more engaging and kind of make sure that they go and then move on to the next process and actually complete the application?
Yeah, so I think it's a really interesting one, because on one side of this coin, you want these people to apply.
Yep.
On the other side, I ran an event a couple of days ago in London, and Rosie from Sainsbury's, employer brand manager from Sainsbury's, made a really valuable point, and it was about, you know, once people are in that funnel, it's a really good idea to give them another opportunity to select or deselect, because again, especially in high volume, mm-hmm. you know, if you look at high volume retail as one silo, you know, you're getting all of these people into the funnel, which is great. That's mm-hmm. absolutely the aim of the game. But just before this application point, it's the opportunity of select or deselect, as yep. you know, if you're a candidate. And so I think it's a great opportunity to introduce more information, more content. You can go a little bit more specific. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, so from a deselection point of view, it's like, we absolutely want you to apply, but just before you do, just a few things to consider. You know, the shifts are this.
Yeah.
The hours of this, the da da da, whatever, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
But I think that lovely honesty piece of like, we want you, you know, to apply, and we want you to come all the way through this process, yep. but it's really important that you understand this. And I think from a selection point of view, it's just continuing that great experience. So if their first touch point in your attraction process was a soundbite piece of content, which was, you distributed it in the right place because you've done your homework. You know, those types of people consume content in those types of places. You know, whether it is LinkedIn, yeah. whether it's Reddit, whether it's wherever it is, but you've done some homework, they've come through the funnel, just making sure it's a great process for them again.
Yeah.
So however you want to present that, whether it's a visually engaging job ad, whether it's an easy apply, you know, ad, whatever it is, just make sure it's another good one. Because
yeah.
I think that kind of digital, you know, kind of, you know, footprint of process. And at EB Uncut, there were a couple of people talking about this. Nick Thompson was one. Tom Portingale was another. They were referencing Dave Hazelhurst,
yep.
who I think had, you know, he's written chapters in his book about this. But it's just making sure, I think Dave Hazelhurst, and this it was Tom that referenced this, but really good analogy. But, you know, you've got this extremely beautiful shop, you know, kind of Tommy Hilfiger, mm-hmm. Ralph Lauren, YSL-esque. But then you go into the changing room,
yeah,
and the lights flickering on and off, the mirror's broken, all that kind of stuff. You know, just make sure your application process doesn't kind of,
yeah,
you know, well, it can doesn't mirror that.
It can be a wrench, right? You know, I mean, like you said, you've got this kind of beauty, you presented beautifully to the outside world.
Yeah.
But then when you come to looking at the job ad on the career site, or if you get shot off to a careers portal of some kind,
yeah.
You know, there it can be this real wrench, right? It looks, yeah, great from the outside. Then you suddenly kind of, like, as you said, pull back the curtain slightly, and suddenly you come to a grinding halt where it's just, it's all very text heavy.
Yeah.
It's all very kind of corporate. It doesn't really kind of tell you much more than the bare minimum. It might give you a salary. It might not. I think the good thing there at that point, if you're stuck with that, because some businesses will be stuck there, right? They won't be able to do much else with,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Right. That's where you just drop in some of this content you've already had, right?
Absolutely.
You drop it into the actual, you make the actual advert itself on your website look visually stunning.
Absolutely.
Right. And visually interesting. So that in itself stands you out from the rest of the crowd. Now, what the actual kind of copy you might be, you know, you might not be able to change a huge amount of it, right? You know, when it comes to job ads, there is certain kind of legislative things we have to kind of like adhere to. That doesn't mean you can't be a bit more kind of creative with it. And in that sense, if it's visually impactful,
yeah,
just generally looking at the job ad, it just like, actually, that's more interesting than what I've just kind of looked at on your competitor's website. Boom. That's one way. That's that next step. The other thing I would also encourage people to do, which so many people within TA and probably in HR don't do, follow this process through, right?
Yeah.
To,
yeah,
a certain extent. Now, we're going to get onto the third bit, which is the kind of application process, right? But, you know, what is it, if you were applying for this role, right, and you looked at the employer brand or the brand in general, and you went through this whole process, and you came to this grinding halt, you know, what would you think as a job seeker? You know, you probably feel a bit kind of let down and think, actually, it's all, you know, it's all kind of glossy around the edges, but when you actually start scratching beneath, it's not as great, right?
Yeah.
So this is the thing. If you feel like you would want to apply for these roles and these jobs, and you feel proud to put them out there, then that's great. Then you've kind of, your process is in place, and you've got a gold star. But if you feel that it's not as good as it could be, and there's some tweaks that need to be doing, and I just don't think enough actual people in TA and in HR actually just kind of go through this whole process and do what we're talking about. Because I bet you most of the time they'd be thinking, actually, yeah, we could improve that there, we can improve that there, they could change that there, we could do this there, those kind of things. But, you know, so for when you actually got to the job spec itself, I've already mentioned, right, you know, writing job specs is an art in itself, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And never ever just kind of cut and paste what you've been given from the department, right, to fill that role, right? You know, at least use ChatGPT to do something with it, right? You know what I mean? Or something, right, that makes it way more kind of legible. Because what you've usually got is a very kind of like basic spec of what that role is. The other thing is, actually, if someone's leaving, right, or someone is, or the person who's actually doing that role now, get them to read that spec.
Absolutely.
Is that what they now do?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just check that it's actually valid.
Yeah, exactly.
With.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
because,
yeah,
so many times it's probably, if it's a role that maybe you've got kind of four or five people doing, you probably just put the same job spec out there.
Yeah.
And actually, over time, it becomes, it's not that
anymore.
It's now
6-7 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you know, kind of proof test it with, yeah, your team of people who are doing this and say, look, actually, is this what you actually do?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then put it out there. So again, these are the kind of little tips I think that so many businesses can do,
totally,
and should be doing, right?
Totally. And inject some personality into that bland part of the process,
yeah,
as well. So in just writing the job description, you know, typically quite a boring process, but be brave.
Mm.
Try and do things differently. Now, you know, what would be wrong in getting that old spec that might be 5 years old, you've never revisited it, have a look at it, see what you can do to bring it up to speed, share it around with the team.
Yep.
And, you know, ask people to make notes on the document. And that might be on the opening summary. That might be on the job description itself, the essential skills. Ask them to pull it apart.
Yeah.
You know, ask the junior engineers where it says essential skills. You know, if they've got, you know, if you've got a collaborative culture and they're able to say, no, those essential skills, I haven't got those. And you gave me a job. And they're like, yeah, but you've done that, John. It's like, yeah, but so might someone else be able to, yeah, to do that. Like, but get, you know, have a bit of collaboration in the process, because again, once you've got it tuned up, you won't have to do that whole process,
yeah,
time and time again. It's kind of a bit of a one-off. And,
yeah,
you know, that's going to, that asset will then work for you for a long period of time. But I think, you know, creating those allies, having that advocacy, it feeds every kind of part,
yeah,
of this.
Yeah.
And it also, you know, if you are in TA or recruitment marketing or employer branding, you know, and you feel like you've probably do got the weight of the world on your shoulders, and God, I do the job descriptions, I, yeah, do the content, I do the distribution, I do the whatever. Yes, but just try and get as many allies in this process as possible, because people will, you know, my experience anyway, if you go out and ask and you build these kind of networks,
yeah,
you know, the people will want to help.
I completely agree. So we have got some great stuff out online.
Yep.
We've got a great looking kind of job ad, right? So we've got people there. Next phase, what we're really kind of, we have a kind of touch point when we're kind of more interested in, is then that application process,
yep,
right? Someone goes, yes, I want to, I'm going to hand over my CV to you. I'm going to go through this process. They hit apply. And worst case scenario, they then got the next 20 minutes,
yeah,
of trying to complete an application process.
So they're using Workday.
You said that, not me, right? You know what I mean? But they've got this laborious process, yeah, right? That they don't know how long it's going to take. They've, yeah, got to kind of complete it out. They've got to tell them every little kind of bit of their background, yeah, all this kind of stuff. And that's the bit that's just going to turn you off. You did get a couple of minutes into that and think, that actually, you know what, yeah, this is not for me. And I know why some businesses like that. They think that only the most determined,
yeah,
are going to get through. But that doesn't mean they're the best or the right people for that. It just means they're determined to get through an application,
absolutely,
process,
yeah,
not the actual right people.
Yeah.
So, you know, because this is part of the things that voice handle and voice kind of get really kind of integrated into, what should we be doing at that point?
Yeah, so I don't think there's a silver bullet.
No.
I think is the first thing. I think it is a horses for courses game. And you know, there's different ways to kind of look at this. So if you look at an organization that are high volume retail, for example, you know, that slightly longer form, you know, they're,
yeah,
they're receiving on a weekly basis 2,000 applications. Okay. Now, without a fair level of assessment in the application process, it does become difficult to manage. You're probably using some AI, yep, you might be using some video application tools, whatever you might be using. But, you know, high volume applications and verticals, I think, tend to need, you know, a little bit more kind of, you know, of a thorough kind,
yep,
of application process. You still don't want to bore the pants off of people,
yep,
because great people will drop off.
Yep.
Great people that have already got four other interviews lined up that you desperately want in your business will think, no thanks.
Yep.
And it's a real shame for those people to bounce. So it's a real, it's a bit of a fine art,
yep,
of making sure you get the right information so you can fairly assess these people. But you're not asking too much where you're going to get bounce after bounce of great talent that you're missing in the process. So, and then I think there becomes another part of the process where, you know, you might be recruiting, you know, for a particular part of your business in a particular vertical where you're just getting nothing through.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing coming through. You know, you've got the opposite of the high volume retail problem. You know, you've got like, there is a drought out there.
Yeah.
Now, me personally, in that application process, I'd have little to no filtration.
Yeah.
It's like, even if 10, 15 applications are coming through and 99% of them are on a different planet, I don't really mind, because, you know, we can still communicate with those people. We can still give them a good offboarding,
yep,
experience.
As a marketer, I could talk about data all day, right? But I think that's podcast number four or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Where we get into kind of like jobs data.
Yeah.
So this has been great as our as yet unnamed kind of new podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be other episodes. Whether we'll be in this amazing kind of studio to do them, we're not sure yet.
Well done to you for booking this, because this is it's the best studio I've ever been in.
It is a great studio. It is a great
really
studio.
Good to catch up with you as always, James.
It's been brilliant, mate. Speak to you soon.
Yeah, speak soon.